Welcome to Finding Our Way. My name's James. My good friend Larry and myself are inviting you to join us in the conversations that we're having of our journey to finding our way to the goodness of God. God is good. God is love. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses against them. So come on, let's go. The party has already started.
You know, James, you set the tone of the day right off the bat.
I did, Larry. I was hearing from the Lord.
You didn't know you were being prophetic.
I know.
You were like Annas and Caiaphas when they were prophesying about Jesus at his crucifixion. Didn't know it. Or was it Pilate? Oh, I mean, one of them.
Custom to a man die.
Yeah, that one. You talked about rest, learning to live in rest.
Yeah.
And here we are in a coffee shop
because
of technical difficulties.
That's right.
So.
That's right. But it's happening.
Oh, it's all good.
The Lord wanted us to get some coffee. Wanted us to
rest. When you get coffee?
He wanted us to rest.
Yeah. That's all. It's all good, man.
Even got enough light to read my Bible.
Yeah.
You just can't see the verses. They're so small.
They're so small. Well, if you need some more light, I'll take my hat off and give you some reflection.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of light.
Yeah, get some glare. You might have to be like Moses, be veiling your face. Yeah. So.
Man, I just love this Passion Translation. Through our union with Jesus, through our union with Jesus, this hidden mystery of his long range plan.
Mm-hmm.
We was talking about that earlier, not in those words.
Well, it's your starting, but it's your starting point.
Yeah.
Are we starting from union, or are we starting from separation?
Yeah, it's a big difference.
Because if you start wrong, you're gonna end up wrong. So it's I don't know. I won't say it's nobody's fault.
No,
because I don't have any better way
There's
to
no
say
fault.
It. Yeah, we started from thinking. My first thoughts and thinking about God started from a place of separation.
Of course.
And that was the only idea anybody ever pitched or said.
Mm-hmm.
And it took all these years to finally realize that that way of thinking is not the best way to think about it.
It's a horrible way.
Yeah, I'm trying to be complimentary of it, I guess. maybe I shouldn't be, but...
Idolatrous way to think
about it. I just realize it's where I came from. It dominated most of my life, most of my... everybody I know.
That's what's so exciting about it, though, the freedom that we're coming into and experiencing.
Yeah.
What is God fixing to do? You know.
Well, that's his unfolding plan.
Yes.
Yeah. It's still unfolding.
Yeah. It was always his perfect plan.
Yeah.
To establish us as delightful children through our union with Jesus.
Yeah.
Man, that's just...
Well, that goes back to the idea of we have our origin in God. He is our Father. We are his children. Yes. And he's bringing us into a place of understanding the fullness of what that means.
Yeah.
To describe, first of all, it's a relational term.
Mm.
Okay. And it's a family dynamic.
Yeah.
It flows from a place of union, and that I think what religion holds over your head is the fear of being rejected.
Mm-hmm. But no, that's BS.
Well, yeah, because
fear,
part of
fear.
Well, yeah, because perfect love casts out fear. So first of all, it's got to go because of that.
Yeah.
And then second, when you realize that when Jesus came to his own and his own received him not, he continued to love, continued to do what he did. He didn't reject us because we rejected him.
That's right.
But somewhere along the way, we have turned the thing and we made a God in our image instead of realizing we're made in his image. And since our love is limited, we're ruled by fear. And if you don't do what I say, I'm going to reject you.
Yeah.
You know, and we think God's like that. Because I'm like that.
Yeah.
You know, and God's like, no, that's not.
Got the same barkers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Second Timothy 1:9.
What's that say?
Well, I ain't sure. And it wasn't because of any good we have done, but by his divine pleasure and marvelous grace that confirmed our union with the anointed Jesus even before time began.
Yeah.
That just, that makes me lay down inside.
Yeah, it's where you rest from.
Yeah.
You rest from there.
No, because it's something that he did in Jesus. It was his delight.
Yes.
Before time.
Yeah. Yeah.
How you gonna mess that up?
Yeah. Well, we don't have a say in God's opinion about us.
No.
We don't have a say in how he feels about us, and we don't have a say in his plan for us. We're just the recipients of his love, the discoverers of his plan, and the participators in his life.
That's so good.
And that's an ongoing, growing process for everybody.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. There's another one talking about our union.
Mm-hmm.
Through our union with Christ, we too have been claimed by God as his own inheritance.
Yeah.
It's going to pick that up. But that's all right. We have been claimed by God as his own inheritance. Mm-hmm. It's through our union.
Yeah.
Yeah. With Jesus. Here's a verse for you. For the Lord God is one, and so are we. I can just hear that on that camera. For we share in one faith, one baptism, and one Father, and he is the perfect Father who leads us all, works through us all, and lives in us all.
That's good.
That's good. Ephesians 4:6.
I'd probably go pick up like a bird chirp.
Yeah. Yeah. Y'all have to forgive us. We're in Java Primo.
Java Primo Coffee Shop.
Java Primo Coffee Shop in Magnolia, Arkansas. How in the world we got up here? I don't know, but we're thankful for this place.
We're just finding our way. Yeah. When you was in Titus a while ago, I was thinking, I've read a lot in the Passion, but I haven't read it enough to remember, commit anything to memory.
Oh, no, it's too good to memory. I just have to read it.
Well, yeah.
Too worried.
No, I was thinking about Titus 2:11. God's marvelous grace has manifested in person, bringing salvation for everyone. This same grace teaches us how to live each day as we turn our backs on ungodliness and indulgent lifestyles, and it equips us to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age. You get tickled about something.
I keep thinking they're going to quit. But it keeps droning on and on and on.
Well, that may be a thought bottomless.
You're going to have to read that verse again.
I was practicing.
I'm like, they're going to quit here in a second.
Oh, is this what that is? Now it's about to be rush hour for afternoon coffee. I think we'll be making 100 of them. Anyway, I was wondering what the Passion Translation in Titus 2:11, how it read. God's marvelous grace has manifested in person.
Mm.
Yeah, because it's Jesus. Jesus is embodied. He's full of grace and truth. He is the embodiment of grace.
I'm so sorry about that. Yeah. Wait,
sir. Oh, that's fine. Yeah, that's thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
That's good. Grace is a person.
Yeah, God's marvelous. Good. God's marvelous grace has manifested in person. Yeah, the God of all grace. Yeah, in him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Yeah, full of grace and truth. Is that good?
That reminded me of taste and see.
That word is good.
Yeah.
Is that worth the wait?
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, that verse is good, too. What about the grace of God teaches us?
Okay, let me read it. Yeah, you read from here. All right, God's marvelous grace has manifested in person, bringing salvation for everyone. Okay.
Mm.
Yeah.
For
everyone.
Just a few.
That's not how he translated that. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's the King James that says the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to everyone.
Yeah.
That's how it got translated.
Appeared.
Yeah, because that's where that leaves us room for the conditionality.
Yeah,
because you have to accept it.
That's right.
You have to accept it.
That's right. Thank you so much.
Oh, yes, thank you. And he said, this same grace teaches us how to live each day as we turn our backs on ungodliness and indulgent lifestyles. And it equips us to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age. Yeah. Yeah, it's a teaching grace.
Oh,
it's a
yeah.
saving grace, and it's a teaching grace.
Enabling grace.
Yeah, it's an enabling grace.
Divine
equipping grace.
How does Keith even define it?
Yeah, effortless change.
Yeah, but it's a divine presence that produces effortless change.
Yeah.
As we rest in him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
so
right.
strengthening.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's really good.
Life-giving.
That when you realize it's him doing it, but we're just confused about how he does it. Because we keep trying to put the onus on us about it. But it goes back to just not seeing him correctly. We don't realize this grace has appeared in a person, and that in person is related to us, and that person has included us
as a man.
Right. Yeah. And
the last
what he did.
Adam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that person we were never separated from, but we didn't believe it. Until he came.
Mm-hmm. We still don't believe it.
And now we still don't believe it.
Man, this is so good. It just gets richer and richer as you go. It's like, oh, Lord, it's like traveling down a river, say the mighty Mississippi.
It's the one that was in Ezekiel that flew out, that flowed from the threshold of the temple.
Yeah.
And as it went, it got deeper.
Yeah, but we've seen the Mississippi. We ain't seen that one.
Nobody's seen the one Ezekiel saw.
Going down.
Yeah.
And there's places where it widens.
Yeah.
And then eventually it just into the ocean,
yeah,
the Gulf down there. Just that's the grace of God and the revelation that comes. It just keeps opening and opening.
Mm-hmm.
One day,
mm-hmm,
we're going to get down there to the Gulf,
mm-hmm,
and we're just going to see those fields of grace.
Well, okay. What's that in Ephesians 2? Throughout the coming ages, mm-hmm, we will be the visible display of the infinite, mm-hmm, riches of His grace and kindness, which was showered upon us in Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Because Paul wrote that. He was talking about,
mm-hmm,
but we're in that even, mm-hmm, now.
Oh, yeah.
But it continues.
Yeah.
Through the ages.
Yeah. We're the continual display of His grace.
Yes. I bet chapter 3 probably says something about it. The breadth and height and length and depth
of the love of God.
That's just God. We're going to spend eternity plummeting the depths of God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The goodness of God, the love of God,
mm-hmm,
the fatherhood of God.
Mm-hmm.
What's Keithley's pillars? The universal fatherhood, all-inclusive grace and unconditional love. I don't remember what they are.
No, I don't remember.
I should, but much as I've heard them. Anyway, we're going to spend our lives. And I don't think it's going to be much different in the way we experience it now,
mm-hmm,
as far as in community.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side, I think we'll walk together.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. We might even paint something. I don't know. What's up over there?
Yeah. There's a lot of questions about what's next and what's it like. And all we have is a frame of reference for what we have here.
They talked about a little bit in that podcast I mentioned, mm-hmm, before about living so in the presence,
mm-hmm,
of God here. You just step over into the next. Mm-hmm. You know, it's no big deal. It's just kind of like Enoch, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Who walked with God and was not, because God took him. Then you will be empowered to discover what every holy experiences, what every holy one experiences, the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions, how deeply intimate and far-reaching in this is His love, how enduring and inclusive. It is endless love beyond measurement that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's the life we're talking about.
Yeah, you missed it. First, you squared there.
Yeah, I know. He's too religious for me in that verse.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't think it was.
I can't word it right.
Well, I just see
well,
the
he said, well, no, then he constantly, then by constantly using your faith.
Well, yeah.
Say that. What is faith anyway?
That sounds like a treadmill to
me. It does, very much so.
But after that, it's the life of Christ will be released deep inside you, and the resting place of His love will become the very source and root of your life.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
The resting place of His love, which means to me, I'm aware and very much conscious that I am loved.
Yeah.
And it settles in on me.
Mm-hmm.
And it brings rest.
Yeah. I'm thinking that you're getting an upgrade on what faith is.
Yeah. That's right.
Because it's hard not to think about faith like it's a work. When it's really just a response to a revelation.
Yeah, you see something, it's like...
Yeah. It's a trust that is the results of an awareness of His goodness and presence.
Yeah, that's good. I didn't mean to bash you.
No. I know I keep going back to some thoughts, but they're thoughts from my journey of having to relearn language and terms and wording, because how I previously understood terms, I'm understanding them different.
Yeah, just like saved.
Yeah. But yeah.
When did you get saved?
Yeah. Well, I could say I got saved in May of 1972. Or I could say I got saved before the foundation of the world.
Yeah, that'd be more accurate.
You know.
But you awaken to the reality of it.
Yeah.
And we're still awakening to the reality
of
it.
I'm still figuring out what I awakened to in May of 1972.
What it means to be saved.
Yeah.
It's a whole new life. Mm-hmm. Abundant kingdom living. Presence of God. And we're still getting saved. And we're still getting our eyes open to
right.
it.
Right.
But we are.
Yeah. Well, I go back to... various denominations have argued over once saved, always saved, how you get saved, faith or works, can you lose your salvation, what must you do to be saved? And out of that, this detracts or pulls away from Jesus, who is the Savior of the world.
Yeah.
And is trying to put something back on us, some conditionality.
Yeah.
And loses sight of the fact that if where we came from, if you started talking about salvation in any kind of progressive way, everybody got real nervous because, oh, that sounded like you could lose it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a growing or maturing in the finished work of the cross.
Yeah, because... Man, as a husband, there's still areas of my life I need to be saved. And I'm learning.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure me and your wife could get a witness to that.
Yeah.
Well, okay, I'd have to say that it's kind of like being married. You go to justice of peace or stand before somebody and be married in a 5-minute ceremony.
Yeah.
But the experience of being married is a big difference, and it's you're always learning, growing, and experiencing what it means to be married. Just like, what does it mean to be saved?
Yeah.
You're growing in that the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And just because I don't maybe feel very loved on a day doesn't mean I ain't married.
That's right.
So I may not feel very loved or act very loving, but that changes the fact that I'm married.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I don't guess that really, maybe when I first was awakened, when I first got saved, there was a wrestle with that, can I lose it idea.
Yeah.
But I've never really wrestled with that.
Well, I haven't either. And this is a good thing about my religious tradition I grew up in.
Yeah.
Is that it was a subtle point. Now, I never understood how they were dogmatic. You can't lose your salvation. But then out of the other side of the mouth came, if you don't believe a certain way or act a certain way, God's not going to be happy with you.
Yeah.
And He's going to, you meaning, punish you.
Yeah.
Well,
that went on into the other.
Yeah.
You're not going to be in the bride.
Yeah, there's going to be an eternal consequence, judgment.
That's just, man, I'm just so glad the Lord has brought us out. Because, mm-hmm. man, I can smell it anytime I get around it.
I can smell it too.
And sometimes, you know, I can't put my finger on it, but my spirit is smelling it.
Yeah, yeah. But I returned to being a follower of Jesus. Can't imagine what he smelled. but he sat down at the table with the Pharisees.
He sure did.
And he dined with them.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes,
that's our standard.
Yeah. Well,
it'd be easy to get up and get out the room because of all that.
The good thing is he's given us that life.
Oh yeah.
It's not something we have to do. We just
that's a good point.
Do life with him.
Well, okay. We only have one life and it's a shared life with his. When you think about that, there's a life of rest involved, if you can think this way, in this sense. If I only have one life, it's shared with him, and it's his life, okay, that I'm sharing. So I don't have any problems.
That's right.
He might have problems, but I don't have any.
Yeah.
There's a rest in that way of thinking.
Yeah.
Jesus, this is your life, and this is your problem. What you going to do about it?
Yeah. That's why he was asleep in the boat in the midst of a storm.
Hey, exactly.
He didn't have any problems.
Yes.
His father.
Okay. With this shared life idea. As we've read here, because he's in us, by the Holy Spirit, he has already poured his love out in our hearts, because you can't separate God from his love. So if he's there, his love is there.
Yeah.
Which means inside of you already is the love for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Pharisee, sinner, won't matter.
Hey, thanks for listening to us talk about how we're finding our way. I hope it helps you find your way to experiencing the goodness of our Heavenly Father, the abundant life that Jesus shares with us now, and the immeasurable love he has for everyone. For more information or to contact us, go to our website, findingourway.co.